Hey, if you have any questions about today's service, you can email info@thefactorystudents@hopechurch.net, Facebook, The Factory Students, Twitter, Instagram as well, The Factory Students, hashtag not heartwork, hashtag, sorry, I didn't need to, gosh, why did I not change that? Fail on my part. Oh, all right, hashtag OTPYG. Oh, the places you'll go. Woo! You're ready. If you're ready, say mm-hmm. If you're ready to hear the word of God, say, hmm. I feel it. I feel it. You're a little off tune, but I feel it. All right. Hey, if you've been with us, we've been going through this series, Oh, the Places You'll Go. 2 weeks ago, I talked about what? Don't. Gosh, unreal. Yes, the path you take, still a cop out, but what do we got? What's the verse? Philippians 3, you got nothing. Guys, come on. Whoa. Whoa. All right, so, hey, if you got a, let me just do a little caveat real quick. If you got, I don't know what this is. If you got a handout in front of you, notice there's no, there's no bottom line and there's no points because I believe, we're trying this out for this series, okay? I believe that you guys have the intellect. I like your shoes. I believe that you guys have the intellect and the tenacity to take your own notes. Do you believe that? You take notes all day at school. Tell me you do. I didn't, but I made it. Living proof. Anyway, I'm being serious. Take notes in school. Well, 2 weeks ago, I talked about the path that you're going to be beginning to take. That's why all this funky tape is spread out all over the floor, and you can see all these different ways that you can go to. You got this way that curves around this way, and it comes back a little bit, and then one goes out this way, and then it comes back to the golden road. The golden road is Jesus. Okay? And so last week, if you were not here with us, we had spring break. Many of you were gone. California, Colorado, Florida, beautiful Missouri. Yes. And so Lauren, my wife, spoke last week and she did a tremendous job. She talked about Lot, you know, Lot, Abraham's nephew, Lot. Okay. He talked about pitching his tent, that he pitched his tent towards the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and how his vision affected his destination. Okay. And so I'm going to get right in it for today. Are you guys ready? You guys ready? Okay, I need a little bit of feedback. I feel like I preach a little bit better when you guys are talking to me in a respectful way, not like amongst your friend, but just saying like, amen, glory, yes, that's good. That's good, preacher. Hi. Okay, we'll give you all Kleenexes. Okay, so we're in Exodus 32. Raise up your Bible by the spine. Exodus 32. Oh, dang, I gave you the page number. Just get turned to 62, chumps. 62. All right, so we are talking about, I don't care if you're there. There was no competition right there. I'm going to burn through this. Are you ready? Because I believe that God has something in store for us here at the end, and that is partly in worship and partly here in the response. And so we're going to burn through this. And so Exodus chapter 32, back up side of this, back up a little bit. So we're talking here about the Egyptians, not the Egyptians. We're talking here about the Israelites. The Israelites came out of Egypt under the enslavement of Pharaoh, and they were there for 200 years. Say 200 years. They were there for 200 years. All right, tell me that, like, that would stink. All right, so way back then, 200 years ago, I don't know how they were originally enslaved. I feel like I should know that, but I don't, let's be honest. Israelites were enslaved for 200 years. And so their father's father's father, say great-great-grandfather, father, they believed in Yahweh. They believed in God. They believed in the God of Jacob, they believed in the God of Abraham, and they believed in the God of Isaac. And somewhere along the way, so they believed in God, somewhere along the way, something happened. Like they just started ending out up here. And there was where they were supposed to go, And so something happened along the way where they stopped believing in God. And so today, we're going to see what happened. You ready to see what happened? Good. Okay, so the people of Israel, they were very religious straight from the get-go. We're giving you a little bit of a backstory, so stay with me. They were very religious. Not religious in the good sense, but honestly religious in the bad sense. That they believed in gods. They didn't believe in one true God. They believed in gods. They believed the God of the air, the God of the sea, the God of whatever they're, you know, I don't think Neptune and, you know, what's the God of the sea? Trident guy? Poseidon? I don't think there was a Poseidon guy. Yeah, okay. Yes. And so they believed in like these kind of gods that controlled everything. They didn't believe in one true God. And so many, many years ago in their enslavement, slowly they started drifting away from God. And so God heard their cries. They were crying out night and day, God, you know, if God of our fathers, the God, Yahweh, the God of Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham, if he is true, have him come and rescue us. And so God heard their cry, and he came to rescue them. And so one of the things that you guys have probably seen on the Prince of Egypt, the movie. Have you guys seen the Prince of Egypt, the movie? So biblically accurate. No, it's not. And so one of the things that you see that's like an accurate depiction, I was going to show it to you, but it's just kind of, sorry, it's like 10 minutes long, and I know you would much rather hear me talk than listen to a video, right? Amen. Thank you. And so something that happened, they called it was the 10 plagues. You guys all know the 10 plagues? Who can name them off for me? Dasher and Prancer, Comet and Cupid. No, Dump. No. The 10 plagues. Okay, so the first one we have. Shh. We all know you can't do it. Okay. I believe in you. If you can do it after this, I'll give you a piece of candy. Okay, for being a good boy and girl. Okay, so the 10 plagues. The first one, where this is important, so stay with me. We're going to burn through these. First one was blood. And so God just didn't send these plagues as like, ooh, that's gross. You know, God didn't send these things as like, oh, you know, stinker, you got to deal with a bunch of blood now. No, like, so there was a backstory of these 10 plagues, and there was a meaning for it. And so the people of Egypt were very religious, like I said, believed in all of these false gods. And so blood represent Apis. Can you say Apis? Apis was the god of the Nile. And the river for the Egyptian was the basis of everything. I'm telling you, their economy was built upon the Nile. They fished there. Millions of fish were in the Nile. And that's how they made their livelihood. And so God chose to target the Nile first. He turned the water not into wine, but into blood. Okay? Are you understand me? Go. Okay. Number two, frogs. Frogs was related to, are you taking notes? I see some of you taking notes. Trevor, you're not taking notes. You're in the front seat, man, and you're not taking notes? Unreal. Get on that. So frogs. Frogs was the second one, and that was like, I'm going to do my best. I don't even know if it's really Apis. It could be a piss, you know, a pice. But we're just going to go for it. Hecate. Okay, and so Hecate was the frog. Hecate was a god with a frog's head. And so frogs were thought to be, like, sacred, and they were not to be killed in Egypt. And so they started to just invade all the people. I mean, gross. Like, I'm seriously, like, frogs everywhere and just crawling in your mouth when you're sleeping. I'm serious. That's gross. And so frogs were thought not to be killed. And so all these, like, sacred little frogs are there, and they all started to die. Imagine that stank. Like, that's stinky, okay? And so number three, we're going through it. We're going through it quick, okay? Gnats. Gnats was the third one. Set. I'm going to say it's the Set. Gnats was the god. I'm sorry, Set was the god of the desert. And here we can see, prior to this, Pharaoh brought in, like, these magicians, and they brought in all of these religious leaders who said, hey, Pharaoh's like, people, how is God doing these things? You know, God doing these things, and we can't explain it. And so, you know, prior, the magicians turned water into blood, woo, you know, and all these frogs. Only, but the gnats was the one where he says, the magician's like, hey, bro, I got nothing. Like, the finger of God, they said this, the finger of God rests upon this one. I got nothing. I can't create these gnats, okay? And so they started to recognize that it was something deeper. Okay, say number four. Four, flies. So, I feel like I'm in a Japanese movie. All right, anyway, he was a fly god. And so God began to hear from now on, get this, catch this. God began right here from now on to start to distinguish the people of Egypt from the people, his people, the Israelites. The flies were all around, but they didn't touch. They didn't even go near the homes of the Israelites. All right? Important to note. Number five, death of livestock. Hathor and Apis. Apis. Apis sounds good. Oof, that was good. All right, we're going to stick with Apis. These were the god of cattle. And we see that God was slowly, we see here that God was slowly starting to destroy the economy of Egypt. Okay, and so he already turned blood and, you know, the water into blood, which destroyed all the fish. Okay, and so right now he starts to kill off all of the livestock. They got nothing to eat right now. They're living off bread because they haven't killed the grains yet. Okay, six, boils. Gross. You're in high school right now. You got plenty of acne, but acne is nothing compared to the size of these boils. Like, I'm talking like half dollar size. And these things would just pop. And you wouldn't want to just be around somebody. Ain't no boyfriend and girlfriends right now in Egypt. Ain't nobody getting funky in Egypt right now because they covered in boils. And when you put some abrasion on the boils, they just, you know, okay, they just pop. Ain't nobody want that. And so the god, the boils, Sekhem, Sunna, and Isis. Not the Isis that we hear right now, okay? But these are the gods over health and disease. And so right now, the religious leaders and the magicians who are trying to imitate all of these acts, all of these plagues, they didn't even want to come and see Moses. They're just like, I can't even get out. Like, man, you can't even sit down. Don't even think the boils weren't on your butt, bro. You, when you sat down, they're a popping. Ugh. Oh, okay, God. All right. It's about having, like, stuff in your drawers all the time. Anyway, number six is boils. Number seven, hail. Nut, Osiris, and Set. These were the gods of sky, fertility, and the storm. This hail was accompanied by fire. And so before the hail and the fire came, the people of Egypt gathered up all of their grains, everything that was going to get destroyed, and they said, well, let's put them in the storehouse. And so everything that wasn't gathered up, it was destroyed by the fire, okay? Say destroyed. Eight, locusts. Nut, Osiris, and Set, same as above, okay? Any of the crops that were in storage now that they just put in storage, all them locusts. You guys know, have you ever seen locusts? I'm from Ohio, and it was like 10 years ago or 7 years ago. It was like the year of, like, locusts. And they're just like, you know, and like the trees. I can't do like a locust noise, but it's like, or like these, like, in the trees. I don't know. It sounded like a flying squirrel. Okay, good. And so these locusts begin to go and just tear into all the storage. So right now, they have no water because it's blood. They got no fish because it was blood. And then they got no livestock because it's dead. And then they got no bread. The food, the four, you know, the pyramid of the four food groups, they got nothing. Okay, they got nothing. Okay, so now they got no food to eat. They ain't getting it on with their wives or their husbands because they got boils. There's frogs still lying on the ground. And then now we're stepping into darkness. Darkness for 3 days. And so this symbolized Re, which was the sun god. And this also symbolized Pharaoh. Pharaoh himself was being targeted right here. And so for 3 days, I'm telling you, you can't even see the hands in front of your face. Egypt was covered in darkness. You got blood. You got no food. You got boils. You got no sex. You got darkness. This stinks, all right? And so finally, the last one was death to your firstborn males. death to your firstborn males. There is a lot, I mean, I can go deeper into this and why that God targeted the firstborn males, but that's not the point of the service, so we're going to be moving on. We'll touch on it later. Okay, and so death of the firstborn males targeted the god of Isis, which was the god of the protector of the children. Kind of ironic for what's going on right now. Weird. Even Egyptian, for every single Egyptian firstborn male died right now, except leaving the children of the people of Israel who sacrificed the perfect spotless lamb, foreshadowing Jesus Christ on the cross, hey-o, and then put it over their door, and then the angels passed over them, and then their firstborns did not die. So, as you can tell, there's a lot of gods here. There's a lot of gods that the people of Israel worshipped. And even the people of the Israelites and the people of Egypt, that they wasn't like, you know, Israel at this time, the Israelites at this time were not like pro-Jesus, I mean pro-God, pro-Yahweh right now. They were not. They were far from him right now. But even God came to them in their unbelief and in their tragedy, in their slavery, and rescued them. This is something you got to get. And so we're going to be, I said all of this to move on to this point. God here in the very first, you need to understand all of this to understand the very first commandment. The very first commandment that was given to the people of Israel, fast forward a couple people, you know, a couple generations, was this: you shall have no other gods before me. God knew what he was doing when he said this. It wasn't just like, oh, relating to you right now today. You shall have no other god of Apple and iPhone before me. No, he was targeting the people of Israel right now because they knew, he knew that this would be something that would stumble. This would be something that they would be tempted with. And so God gave the law to Israel, and he knew what he was doing. We're going to turn to Exodus 22 through 5, and it says this: and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, that is in the water in the earth. All right. We made it through all that. Now we're getting into the main point. You ready? Do you have anything left on your pieces of paper? You're like a child. I'm about to go. Okay, so you're ready. We understand all the backstory, and we're moving on. Fast forward, we're moving on to our main character for the night, Aaron. Man, I don't even know. If you don't know that video, don't look it up. But, man, if you do know that video, that has plagued me for the rest of my life. Oh, go to Starbucks. What's your name? Aaron. Oh, Aaron. No, Aaron. I just stare at them, and they don't smile. Anyway, it's real awkward. Anyway, so at this point, fast forwarding a few years, people have, you know, this is after the crossing of the Red Sea. This is after Egyptian army was, you know, done for into the bottom of the Red Sea, and they started going on their path towards the Promised Land. And so Moses was instructed at this point to go up to the Mount of Sinai, where he was going to receive fresh revelation from God. He was going to meet God face to face, like the thunderous voice. He was going to be there. And so at this point, he's been up on this mountain for 40 days. And now Moses is old at this point. He was already old back in Egypt, but now he's like deathly old right now. I don't even know how he made it to the top of a mountain. Like, how many of you climb Pikes Peaks in this room? Pikes Peak. Mm-hmm. That's rough. You're young. You're limber. This dude was old, and he climbed. And so Israel's down at the bottom of the mountain thinking like, bruh, the brother didn't even make it up the mountain. He's probably dead a quarter of the way up. And so they started like freaking out a little bit. He's old. He's like, well, he's been up there for 40 days. He didn't take that much food. And so they're starting to freak out. They're like, man, our leader is gone. Where are we going now? What's the next step? And so Israel came to Aaron. Right now, Aaron was at the bottom of the mountain along with Israel. And Israel came to Aaron. He's like, bruh, what do we do? Bruh, what do we do? And so Israel came to Aaron, and he said, and they said, we need something. We need something to worship. We need something to direct our attention towards. And so they asked Aaron to build them an idol. What? What? Like, they want Aaron. You're like, bro, you realize what you just came out of, worshiping all of these idols, and all these 10 plagues happened to this, and you know the one true God, and you're wanting Aaron to build you an idol? Are you serious? And so they were pressuring Aaron, and they were saying, hey, we don't know what else to do. Aaron doesn't know what to do. And he's like, man, look, Moses is dead, and we need something to follow, and we need to worship an idol. And so right now, they're reverting back into their old ways. They're going against God. They're going against the one true God of who they know is true, and they want to begin to worship this idol, okay? And so Aaron right here was faced with a difficult decision. He was faced with a difficult decision. Guess what? He failed. Aaron was used as a tool here to merge the old pagan ways of worshiping false gods with the practice of worshiping, which they didn't even really know. Man, they didn't even know how to worship God at this point. And so Aaron started to make them a golden calf. He says, get your earrings, get your rings, get your wife's jewelry, get your necklaces. And so get all the gold that you can. I'm going to build you an idol. And so Aaron, man, he fastened this thing. I don't know, even know how they did it back in the day. Let's be honest. Like, just put it in this, like, cast iron skillet, because that's pretty tough. Put it in the fire, melted it down, and put it into, like, a mold of gold, of a golden calf. Did they have molds of golden calf back then? I don't know. It's like a cookie cutter, right? Just, you know, golden calf. You got it. And so Aaron took time in forging this golden calf. And so at this point, the Israelites begin to engage in their old ways of worshiping what they knew. What they used to do through their old false idols is, man, they used to sacrifice. They used to bring animals to sacrifice to them. This was like a celebration. Like, it was not just like, oh, you know, it was not like that. Like, man, they got down. They got crunked. Like, you know, they turned up. You know, they started a party. You know, and they started taking drugs. Is there drugs back then? I don't know. But I'm sure they were, like, finding some sort of leaves of some sort, you know, hallucinogens, finding those mushrooms, the wild mushrooms that were growing in the desert. Anyway, I don't know. And so they begin to sacrifice, and they begin to party it up, just as what they were taught to do in the past. And so we're seeing, man, I can, as Gary would say, I can build 3 tabernacles right here and just, you know, preach upon that. But we're going forward. We're talking about Aaron right now and the decision that he made. This whole series is about the decisions that we make in life and where it affects us. And ultimately, it not only affects just us, it affects the people around us as well. Now, it's not honestly a singular, you know, cause and effect of what Aaron did. Aaron knew better. He knew who God was, and he started to just build these people a calf and show them, like, hey, you can worship this as your God now, when God just told him, like, hey, you shall have no other gods before me. Nothing that comes similar to me, nothing that comes out of the water or the earth. Hello, gold. Like, God already spelled it out for him. And so Aaron was faced with this decision, and he chose poorly. You know, it's like this green tape here on the ground. All of a sudden, like, man, he just, like, took a right turn and just, like, started going off. And so something happened in Aaron's heart. He was faced with a decision to make. And so you're, like, sitting there, hey, Aaron, we got 9 minutes left here in the rest of the sermon. What does this even mean to me? And I'm going to tell you, man, you're going to be faced with difficult decisions in your life. You were faced with a difficult decision earlier in this day. I can guarantee it. And I'm talking to you, to myself even. When I was growing up in church, I was like you, many of you know, I grew up in church. I was there 3 or 4 days out of the week when it was only, you know, anytime the doors were open, I was there. Like, I worked at my church. You know, I slept there multiple times. But, like, I was there all the time, okay? And so, and I went to a Christian school up until I was in eighth grade. I transferred into a public school. And, man, was that an eye-opener. Because, like, I went to, like, you think of, like, New Covenant Academy. It was, like, a lot less than that even. Like, it was just, like, like, there was, like, 8 people in my class. It was rough. But they were Christian, you know, and honestly, you know, they were all good Christians. And so I was faced when I went into high school and I went to a public school. I was faced with so many decisions. How does my life back here when I serve, you know, when I went to a Christian school, how do I bring it forward in my relationship with God in a public school? And so when I told you, like, man, you are faced with a difficult decision just today, you may not have even realized it. But I guarantee when you were sitting around your lunch table, there were opportunities of a decision that you had whether you can go one way or go the other. And I'm talking about, man, I went to a public school. I didn't party. I didn't drink. And I didn't participate in any of that. But what I did, and it's so funny because I look back now, what I did is I was just apathetic. I was friends with kids who cussed all the time. I was friends with kids who, you know, said all these perverted jokes. I went to parties, but I didn't drink. I mainly went there to swindle money from people. It was bad, but I'll tell you about that later. But, man, I was faced, yeah, sorry for bringing that up. But I'm telling you, man, I walked in the shoes of many of people who did not know Jesus. And I did nothing about it. I grew up in the church. I knew God. I had experiences with God, and I did nothing about it. I laughed at the perverted jokes. I went through a phase where I cussed, and I thought I was cool. Like, shut up, bro. Like, Aaron, you done did messed up. Like, come on. Like, and I guarantee you, when you were here, when you were earlier today, when you were at your school, you had the opportunity of breathing life into people in your school, and you have the opportunity to lead them down a path of destruction like Aaron did building an idol. You have a path of leading them down a path of destruction, or you have an opportunity of pointing them to Jesus. And that we talking about all these times about the roads that you'll travel and the decisions that you'll make and where it'll affect where you're going. And I'm telling you, it's not just about you. It's not that the decisions that you make, you're bringing other people along with you. What you accept in your life, what you accept, the conversation, if you're sitting around a conversation at your lunch table and the conversation goes bad and you sit there and you say nothing about it, that's on you. That's on you. That is sin. I'm calling it out right now. That is sin. There's a place, I was at this group last Monday night. Wes Oldham said this. He's like, there's a place in a Christian's life where your knowledge and your belief has to line up. And so your knowledge of what is good, your knowledge of what you should do is right here. And your belief in what you're doing, this is what you're actually walking out, your belief is right here. And this gap is what we like to call sin. You know what you should be doing, but you're not doing it. That gap is sin in your life. And so don't think for one second that, oh, I go to a public school, and oh, I go to, you know, I don't drink like me, you know. I know many of you, hopefully many of you in here don't drink. You know, I don't, you know, underage drinking, you don't do drugs, you don't, you know, have adulterous relationships outside of a marriage. Man, you know the truth, but you're not telling anybody. That's sin. It's not just like an apathetic, like little thing of like, oh, I didn't have an opportunity. Nobody asked me about Jesus today. They didn't come up to me and say, hey, do you have some time to talk about Jesus? That didn't happen today, so it must not have been God's will. Like, no, you have an opportunity every single minute of your life when you are in the mission field. When you walk out of this room, you are entering the mission field. Do you understand that? I'm not hearing any amens or yes, glory. Go ahead, preacher, okay? I believe in you. And so like Tim was saying earlier on in this, this is even off my notes, but man, it, like Tim was saying earlier on in this service, he said that we say every single Sunday morning when we walk into this room on a prayer service that we believe three things. We believe a genuine love and understanding for the Bible. We believe a move of God in this generation and for you to bring the gospel to your friends. We believe in those three things. And so let's just narrow it down to two things. The gospel to your friends and a move of God in this generation. What have you done today to further that? What are you doing? We believe these things. Our belief, our knowledge is over here, but we're over here. We're not acting right here. And so what's the disconnect? And so you have to find that disconnect in your life. All right, we're going on. The path he chose. Aaron, you say, what's amazing a few chapters ago is that Aaron was given the opportunity to go up to Mount Sinai. All of Israel, the Israelites, were given the opportunity to climb the mountain on Mount Sinai and meet God. They were given that opportunity, but Aaron chose very early. He says, no, I'm going to stay down here with the Israelites, and I'm going to party it up. Do you see the route? You see the decision he made and where it affected his destination? Amen, yes? This is a yes. Do you understand this? Like, you had an opportunity to go into the presence of God, and you didn't go. So as Tim's going to come up, and we're going to end this out. But you see, Moses was looking down, and God was looking down on the top of Mount Sinai. He was seeing these people build the golden calf, and God blew up. He was just like, hey, are you kidding me? Like, I'm going to rain down death and destruction on you. And Moses is like, whoa, back it up, God. Chill it out. These are your promised people. You know, these are your people. Don't kill them right now. You can kill them later. Don't kill them right now. Okay? And so Moses came down from the top of Mount Sinai, and he came down, and he saw everything that was going on. He was seeing everybody get turned up. He was seeing everybody participating in all of these things. And I can just see. Like, he brought down the Ten Commandments on a tablet, and he's like, what? He just threw them. Like, he was upset. And so he saw the potential of his fellow brothers. He saw his brother Aaron. He saw the people that he just rescued out of Egypt, and he saw them go back to their pagan ways. He saw them mess up, and he was upset by it. He was upset. And so, man, like, the ultimate destination of Aaron was this. He didn't go into the promised land. That there was, you know, there was an ultimate destination when Moses used Aaron's staff and he hit the rock to have water come out. And that was the ultimate reasoning of him not entering the promised land. But I will tell you today, and I firmly believe that it wasn't that, just that decision that kept him from the promised land. It was the decision that he made slowly but surely to not go up to Mount Sinai to meet with the presence of God. Slowly but surely, he built that calf, and he led people along a line of destruction. Slowly but surely, he gave the staff to Moses, and he struck the rock, and that's what kept him from the promised land. And so, guys, I'm here to tell you, because I love you so much, and I'm here to say that, man, the decisions that you make do affect your destination. They do. And it's not the big ones. Honestly, it's not. Like, you know, it can be, but honestly, it's the ones we don't really even know about. It's the slow acceptance of laughing at jokes we shouldn't be laughing at. Accepting sin in other people's life we shouldn't be accepting. Saying things we shouldn't be saying. And so tonight, what's our response? What's our response as people who say, you know, they come to church every Sunday and Wednesday. Life, you're like me, many of you I see in this room who come to church every single Sunday and Wednesday, and you're here. But I'm telling you what, if it was my way, and I'm going to preach until the day I die, until I turn blue in the face, You understand? Until you get it. That there's a line of progression when it comes to accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. It doesn't stop there. When you come into a right relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the beginning. That justification, becoming just and right in the eyes of God, saying, God, I need you, I need your Son to come and forgive me of my sins. That's justification. You're coming into right relationship with you. That justification needs to lead on the path of sanctification. Sanctification is this path where you're being constantly molded by God every single moment of every single day. You're saying, God, I need more of you. God, I'm not. Yesterday was yesterday. I messed up. You're going to mess up every day. God, I messed up yesterday, but today I'm choosing to walk down this path. Justification has to lead to sanctification because sanctification leads to glorification. Glorification meaning that we're coming to heaven. We're entering that promised land. That we're taking what is ours. The keys of the kingdom is in God's hands now. That's what happened when he died on that cross. He beat death. He won the victory. And now your justification needs to lead to sanctification. And sanctification needs to ultimately lead to glorification. And so understand this. Please understand this. If you want to stand up with me, I'm just going to shut down these lights. We're going to sing one of these songs that, man, this song like wrecked me when I was your age. Every time this song came on, like it was money. But the lyrics is just like, you are the source of life. I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will take hold of you. I don't want anything else in this world, but I want you. You are the source. You are my breath. You are my life. I need you. And so we're going to finish out this service. I'll come back up and end it out so you can leave. So don't go out of this room yet. But I just want you to come into this moment and say, God, I've accepted you as Lord and Savior. And if you haven't in this room, there are leaders across this room that would love to have that conversation with you. That would love to lead you into a right relationship with Jesus. They would. So you're saying right here, like, man, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now I need to walk down the path of living for you every single day, to be constantly molded by you every single day. So sing this song with us and just begin to reflect over your own life.